What is God doing right now?
If God is everywhere, why can't I see him anywhere?
Where is God?
Why is there so much suffering?
Why does God let this happen?
Why won't God answer my prayers?
Who's going to heaven?
How come?
Why?
What's the point?
What for?
Now it's time for some straight answers to awkward questions with Pastor George Samianch.
How should we read the Bible? Hello, welcome to Straight Answers to Awkward Questions on Lutheran Radio UK. My name is George Samietz, and I'm the pastor at Ascension Lutheran Church in Brandon, Suffolk, and I teach part-time at the ELCE's Theological House of Studies, Westfield House in Cambridge. I hope you enjoy the program. How should we read the Bible? The reason this question comes up is because people read the Bible and from it arrive at different perspectives and teachings. If the reading of the Bible was consistent, then what comes from it would have a lot more consistency. This means people can wonder if they're reading it right, or they might shy away from it as too hard to really understand, or they might even prefer to have someone else tell them about it and not read it themselves. While still a publisher's dream, the Bible is still a bestseller, there is also a sense that all the copies are not read regularly. Lutherans read the Bible in a particular way. And even among us, there are a variety of interpretations from the Bible, which means that we can read it with differing emphases. What I'm going to do with this straight answer is give you the principles usually brought to reading the Bible. There is also another straight answer podcast on the Bible entitled, How Can We Trust the Bible?, which will also give you a further perspective on your reading. So let's make a start and remind ourselves that the Bible isn't a book, but is better understood as a library, written by different authors over quite a long period of time. We know some of the authors, but not all. They wrote for their audiences, words that were meant to be understood by their readers. So the Bible is comprised of human words. It is human literature. And in it you will find a variety of literary forms and styles of writing. So you will find histories, lists, prayers and songs, prophecies, messages, letters, dictated letters, a style of writing called apocalyptic, think of the books of Daniel and Revelation, proverbs and wisdom literature, and instructions about all sorts of things, often to do with worship or sacrifice. Just as we understand the genre or the style of literature to understand the author's meaning, so we bring those skills to bear when reading the Bible. Lutherans are not literalists when it comes to the Bible. We want to hear what the Bible says and understand it, and to do that we will let the word speak. So here are three quick examples. When Jesus speaks of Herod in a certain way, what does he mean? From Luke chapter 13. At that very hour some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." And he said to them, "Go and tell that fox, 'Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I finish my course.'" So what is Herod? Jesus calls him that fox. Are we meant to understand that Herod is a four-legged creature running around the palace? Of course not. We recognize Jesus' use of a metaphor, that Herod is sly, cunning, and so on, and someone Jesus won't be intimidated by. Here's a question for you. How many hours are there in a day? We say 24, and our clocks back us up. However, in John chapter 11, verse 9, we find, "And Jesus answered, 'Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world.'" Now, strictly the words, even in the Greek, say that there are 12 hours in the day. Now these are Jesus' words, and so we should believe him, right? Nevertheless, I think we all still will say that there are 24 hours in the day, because we recognize the context of what Jesus is saying, and that day in this context means daylight. This is part of how we use language, and we have no difficulties understanding the meaning. Thirdly, how's your biology? Is this statement strictly true? From John chapter 12. "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone, but if it dies, it bears much fruit. Again, we can understand the image, the picture. A seed is buried, and yet out from the ground comes a plant with fruit. It is a powerful typology that links with Jesus. But in terms of botany, a seed that dies, dies. It is a seed that germinates that bears fruit. Are we going to quibble on words? Not in this case, because the context gives breathing space. My point is that the Bible is all human words and needs to be understood in ways similar to how we understand other genres or literary styles. Christians, however, also bring a perspective to this book, or library in a book, that they don't bring to other writings, and that is because it reveals Jesus to them. Thus, the Bible is also God's word. This is a faith statement, something we believe about this book, and so we approach it not so much as scientists placing it under a microscope, but as students listening to a teacher. From 2 Timothy chapter 3. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learnt it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Now, God's word and the intentions of the writers are similar. The Bible was written with a purpose in mind. It is not just a dispassionate history or a memoir, but it has a goal, that it is to convey Jesus Christ to us. In fact, if you don't find Jesus Christ in whatever part of Scripture you're reading, then keep reading until you do. The Gospel according to John has this clear message at the end of chapter 20, and I hold that it is true for the whole Bible. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. The Bible's goal is for the readers to follow Jesus, know him for who he is, understand what Jesus has done for them, and keep following him, having already been given eternal life by Jesus through faith. Jesus said in John chapter 5, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life." Thus, the Bible is meant to be used regularly, daily, read, thought about, meditated upon, used as a stimulus for prayer, action, guidance, challenge, and a kick up the backside if necessary. It can be comforting and troubling. Christians read it because in it they meet Jesus. This means that it can be understood by the reader. You don't need to run off to your pastor for the answers, though he might have some academic knowledge or historical detail or depth that comes from knowing Hebrew and Greek. And so what emerges by reading, and more reading, and through teaching our children how to read the Bible, are guidelines or principles to help readers of the Bible read the Bible with confidence. Here are four that will help you read the Bible. Number one. We need the Holy Spirit's guidance to help us understand what we're reading, to focus our attention where it needs to be, and also to hear what the Bible is saying to us now. While all the Bible is God's word, the question to ask before you read is, what is God's word for me at the moment? So if you read a Bible passage about marriage, and you're not married, then perhaps you are getting to know God's intention for marriage. If you're married, then perhaps something in the Bible passage you're reading will speak directly to something in your marriage right now. One hopes that the teaching that emerges is consistent, though the application quite different. From 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God, and we impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. So, when we read the Bible, we ask God to guide our reading. Number two. The direct and obvious meaning is what is meant. Recognizing the narrow context, the actual words and their meaning, and the broad context, the type of literature, and the overall message that is proclaimed. The Bible is understandable. People often reject it precisely because they have understood the message from Jesus and what his lordship entails. We have only the words to go by. The meaning must come from the words. So earlier I asked you about our understanding of what Jesus meant by calling Herod that fox. Now let me ask you a different type of question. What did Jesus give to his disciples at the Last Supper? The answer is pretty clear: bread and wine. Nevertheless, that answer is also incomplete, because Jesus declared that the bread is his body and the wine his blood. You can check all four accounts of the Last Supper and you find the message consistent, so that your answer must include four elements or items: bread and wine and body and blood. That's what Scripture reveals, what the words themselves say. Now the question comes, what does that mean? Or better said, what does Jesus mean? Christians differ on their teaching on Holy Communion because they draw on differing portions of the Bible for their answers, or they declare something to be a certain thing like a metaphor or a simile. That, however, only works if the words give you the opportunity to make that interpretation. In other words, that there are no other words in the Bible that speak about what you're reading. This leads us to our third principle for reading and understanding the Bible. Scripture interprets Scripture. The Bible proclaims a consistent message, and if you don't understand a word, find how it is used in another part of the Bible. If you don't understand a verse, read the verses before and after it. Keep reading until a meaning emerges, even if it doesn't seem to make sense at first. So, returning to the question about Holy Communion, some churches simply teach that Jesus meant that the bread and the wine represented his body and blood. But Lutherans can't agree with that because other Bible passages speak about things that relate or apply to this matter. So people say it is impossible for Jesus to be present physically in the bread and wine, and yet Christmas teaches us that God can be present in a baby. And Colossians chapter 2 verse 9 states, "For in him," that is Jesus, "the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily." Thus, there are Bible passages that clearly state that it is not impossible for Jesus to be present physically in bread and wine, and so Lutherans simply go back to the words that Jesus said and teach accordingly. Yes, it is a mystery, but Holy Communion is the true body and blood of Jesus given in bread and wine, instituted by Jesus himself for us to eat and drink. Why? Because he said so. This teaching, we believe, makes sense of all the Bible verses that can come into play here. Scripture interprets Scripture. It also stops us stringing verses together and coming up with meanings that are not helpful, or as per the original context and content. So, you have the classic old chestnut or very poor joke, "Judas went out and hanged himself, go thou and do likewise," as an example of what you can't do with Scripture. This leads us to the fourth principle. There is a unity of Scripture. There's a consistent message throughout the Bible of sin and grace. For Lutherans, the center of the Bible is Jesus, and the central message is the Gospel, focused on Jesus and what he has done for us. This means if you come up with an interpretation that gives credit to yourself or your behavior for your salvation, then you have to keep reading until Jesus comes into focus. This unity is found throughout the whole Bible in terms of sin and grace. We wreck things and God rescues us. This helps us read the Old Testament and understand it in relation to the New Testament. So we find Jesus already in the Old Testament because the New Testament is read as a fulfillment of the Old Testament. Jesus is the fulfillment of the law, the prophets, and the Psalms. As we read the Bible more and more, it loses its strangeness. And with the lens, so to speak, of sin and grace, we find in everything we read God working to rescue his people, and this is most clearly revealed to us in Jesus and on the cross. This life that we find in the Bible because of Jesus, with Jesus, is one we can live now in our lives, and God uses his word to give us life and to help us understand the Christian faith and why we do what we do in church, in worship, and why we do what we do, or try to do, in our daily discipleship, following Jesus. We can use the Bible as an answer book for specific questions. We can also read it continuously, chapter after chapter, as a way of spending time with Jesus, listening to him. The Holy Spirit takes these words we read and makes links or associations in our lives, and we can know to listen if the big picture story remains, I'm a sinner and Jesus forgives and guides me. If you haven't read the Bible ever, or you've only used it as an answer book, may I suggest that you give it a go reading whole books of the Bible, maybe a chapter at a time, a chapter per day. The four books I'd recommend are the Gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Meet and listen to Jesus again and again. And when you finish reading the four Gospels, start again. You will never exhaust hearing what God has to say to you. Then after a few times, perhaps you can try one of the other books to read. You'll still be meeting Jesus. And so it is true, what many of us sang when we were very little. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. If you'd like some straight answers, send your awkward questions to me, George Samyets, at Lutheran Radio UK. That is at info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Goodbye.